Got 27 minutes to go till 4 o'clock on Downtown. It's a Wednesday edition of the show. Rich Kimble, Ryan Wayning with you. And on the G&M Family Market phone line, it's our friend Brian McPherson of the Providence Journal. Brian, welcome back to the show, and a congratulations to you and everybody at the Projo for a great recognition named the best weekday newspaper in New England. That's awesome.
Yes, thank you very much. I looked at the dates specifically that they submitted, and they made sure to include ones without Brian McPherson copies, so that was a real savvy move by them.
Well, strategy's key, you know. It's like, was John Farrell in charge of the paper? What's happening there?
No, I mean, a lot of people worked really hard. Our Race in Rhode Island series that a big group of our newsroom did was really an important part of that, too. A lot of people worked really hard for that.
Well, we don't care about the rest of the paper. We just love the sports department.
We appreciate that.
With the exception of Tim.
Sure. I mean, that seems like he goes without saying, right?
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about the Red Sox and help us make sense of the season and look ahead to next year. Was there ever any doubt in your mind that Dave Dombrowski was going to bring back John Farrell?
Not really. I mean, you hear the rumblings from that kind of dissatisfied section of the fan base on Twitter enough that you start to wonder, you know, if there might be any sort of momentum in that way. But, I mean, you take a step back now with perspective and look at the season they had. They've finished last 2 years in a row. They win 93 games. They win the American League East, which was, in terms of kind of having the most competitive teams for longest, was the toughest division in baseball this season. I mean, even the Yankees were in it for much of September. So four out of five teams were really in this race. You know, that's John Farrell's job. He kept them together in August when they had those brutal road trips. They stayed consistently effective all season. David Ortiz stayed on the field all season. A lot of guys had the best years of their careers, including guys like Rick Porcello and someone like Dustin Pedroia, who kind of bounced back as well. You know, John Farrell did his job this year. The playoff exit was disappointing, but you know, in a short series, that's not the sort of thing that costs a manager's job.
Well, and again, the people sitting at home watching on TV, they see the strategy, and that's kind of all they see. And to me, I'm not even sure if that's the biggest part of the manager's job, but managing all of those egos and all of those personalities would seem to me to be the far more difficult and more important part.
Yeah, and it's obviously easy to see the strategy and see, you know, Farrell pinch hit Chris Young for Andrew Benintendi in Game 3 instead of for Sandy Leon or Jackie Bradley and think what they're doing. But even Dave Dombrowski said, like, in-game management's important, but you're right, it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to have the team playing hard, ready to play, put in the best position to win all season long. And that's where you look at the fact that they persevered through that brutal month of August, the fact that Porcello bounced back the way he did, the way that David Price righted the ship after a tough first 5 weeks, you know, the way that Sammy Leone was used as a strong contributor, the way that Mookie Betts, you know, had an MVP caliber season, the way that Hanley Ramirez bounced back, like all of those things are positive reflections on the manager, you know, far more than any particular moves.
Now, and this would not be just on the manager. I think ownership would bear some responsibility for this as well. But do you subscribe to this idea that in the last week after they clinched, they were far too focused on paying tribute to Big Poppy over that weekend extravaganza than they were on getting home field advantage and, by the way, also eliminating the Blue Jays from the playoffs?
I don't know. I mean, there was a little bit of that, but, like, they just got swept too, and they lost the home game they played. So I don't know that, like, let's say that weekend party for David Ortiz, you know, made them 5% less likely to beat Cleveland. Like, Cleveland beat them pretty soundly. I don't know that not honoring David Ortiz would have changed that calculation very much at all. I mean, the hitters were all out of sorts. They were chasing pitches early in the count, chasing pitches early in the series, chasing breaking balls out of the zone. And they were taking too many called third strikes later in the series in games 2 and 3. Like, I don't know that the Ortiz festivities, it's a nice narrative because they didn't finish strong. I mean, there have been plenty of teams that didn't finish strong and played well. There have been plenty of teams that finished strong and then didn't play well coming postseason. Like, it's easy to draw that line. I don't know that it's that connected. And honestly, David Ortiz deserved that sort of extravaganza, especially on Sunday, the kind of player he's been for the organization. Like, I mean, that was the appropriate sort of send-off. So I don't really have any problems with it.
We're talking with Brian McPherson of the Providence Journal. So we close the book on this year and begin to look ahead to 2017. Other than Big Poppy, who else is unlikely to be back next year?
Well, you look at the bullpen. That's kind of the place where you're looking at the most vacancies. Brad Ziegler is a free agent. Cody Lehar is a free agent, though, you know, the fact that he'll be 42 next year and was still effective this year makes him a really interesting case. Maybe they bring him back on short money or on a one-year deal or whatever it might be. Junichi Tozawa is a free agent. So those three relievers kind of create the biggest vacancy. And, you know, someone like Joe Kelly stepping up late in the season makes you feel a little bit better about that. But I don't know if they're going to make a major move. I don't think a team with Craig Kimbrell goes out and gets Aroldis Chapman or goes out and gets Kenley Jansen through the big market free or big ticket free agent. But there will be some moves made on the bullpen front, I think, because there aren't that many other vacancies on this roster at this point.
Well, one of them, or at least a question mark, seems to be third base. And how much stock should we put into the decision to play Yoan Moncada at third base out in the Arizona Fall League?
Yeah, I don't think they would anticipate him being the opening day third baseman. But, yeah, that's certainly a spot that he could potentially end up at. Now, they could pivot away from that, too. I mean, one thing that nobody can really have any idea about is what Pablo Sandoval is going to look like come spring training, what his swing is going to look like, what his mobility is going to look like. And he had such a disappointing first year in Boston. But the example of Hanley Ramirez, the example of Rick Porcello, shows you that sometimes that, you know, can go away after a year or two. And Sandoval comes back with a clean slate. He was a good player in San Francisco. I mean, he doesn't have to be the best player on the team. He just has to be, you know, a league average, slightly above average third baseman like he was in San Francisco. And you know, that was given the way that Travis Shaw kind of went downhill in the final 4 months of the season. The way Moncada scuffled when he first came up, you don't want to put that kind of pressure on him. If Sandoval can look like the Sandoval from San Francisco, that would be a big lift for them. And you know, they're paying him anyway. He's going to be around anyway. You know, it's not like they have to go out and sign anybody extra to have Pablo Sandoval. If he could help them, that would really be a big lift.
And we, of course, know that they've got to fill that role, a designated hitter. We hear Edwin Encarnacion is probably the most common name, but guys like Mark Trumbo, a possibility. Who would be a logical candidate to step into that spot, or do they look within the system?
There's not a ton within the system. I mean, Sam Travis missed half the season AAA, so he probably starts at AAA again. There's not really a natural candidate there. I'm curious, given how many runs they scored, I'm curious if they do make a huge splash at that spot, or if this year with the offenses can still be really good even without Ortiz. If they do make a splash, more likely they'll probably want somebody who swings from the left side, or at least is a switch hitter, because the lineup got so righty-heavy. You know, that was why Brock Holt came second in the playoffs, just because they were trying, Farrell was trying to force a lefty up towards the top of the order, where they're just, you know, Betts and Bogarts and Pedroia and Hanley Ramirez all swing from the right side. So the name that I think about is Carlos Beltran, who will be 40. You know, you wouldn't have to go long-term with him. You'd probably be intrigued by the idea of playing in Boston, having been in New York recently or been in New York for a lot of his career. He's a switch hitter, but certainly in terms of against right-handed pitching, he'd be a nice balance in the middle of that batting order between, you know, Betts and Hanley Ramirez.
Now, what about Clay Buchholz? Did he do enough down the stretch to get himself another year?
Yeah, he did. And the thin pitching market plays into that. There's very little out there for free agent pitching that, honestly, if he hit the market, he might get, you know, 4 years and $50 million. Like, as crazy as it might sound, there's just no pitching out there. There's always a need for pitching. So he would get paid. When you look at guys who got paid last offseason, Ian Kennedy got a ton of money. Jeff Samardzija got a ton of money. Both were coming off pretty lousy seasons. The way Buchholz pitched down the stretch, I think, ensures that the team would pay him, which means that it behooves the Red Sox to pick up that option. Even if they don't have a spot for Buchholz, pick it up and trade him because there's value there. More likely, I think, given the question marks about Stephen Wright's shoulder, about Drew Pomeranz, given the whole saga with San Diego, more likely, I think, they come to spring training with all six of those guys with the understanding that pitching health is temporary and somebody's probably going to get hurt and you need the depth starters you have. And when you don't have much confidence in guys like Henry Owens and AAA, like having six proven major league starters can be a real asset. I can see them just coming to spring training with all of those guys.
Yeah, and Joe Kelly really seemed to adjust well to coming out of the bullpen late in the season, even in the postseason. Is that going to be his home for the future?
Yeah, that's what he is. Now, that was just too successful, and his success as a starter was too intermittent. Like, he's started a lot of seasons in starting rotations, and he always seems to end up in the bullpen, both in St. Louis and Boston. And the way he pitched after he figured out his release point, figured out how to command his fastball a little bit, and really zeroed in on his curveball as his primary secondary pitch, that he was just dominant out of the bullpen. He was one of the best players for the Red Sox in the division series. Obviously, that was not a long list, but he retired everybody he faced in the division series. I think his strikeout-to-walk ratio in September was like 20-3. he's a reliever, and you don't want to put too much on his plate right away. Like, you don't want him to necessarily be the primary setup man right away, but he looks like a real weapon out there in the bullpen.
Brian McPherson, Providence Journal. Hey, Brian, we appreciate you checking in with us throughout the season. Of course, the Red Sox don't ever really have an offseason, so I'm sure we'll catch up with you again before too long.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Rick.
Brian McPherson, the Projo here on Downtown. 17 till 4, our Sox report.